Welcome to House of Bread Podcast. This is Pastor Jonathan Hansen speaking at Abundant Life Church.
Before I get into it too much, I just want you to think about your life right now. And almost everybody I can think of in my head is facing something pretty big. It seems like the biggest thing of your life right now. And for a lot of people. It feels like there's a battle going on of this is the biggest thing of my life that I've had to face. I feel like God is saying it's not the biggest thing you're ever going to have to face. but in this time, you're going to learn how to rest in me. So my whole message this month is all about that. So being ready, willing, and able. That's what I'm talking about. And I know I am seeing things like I've never seen before. I've told you, I said, we feel like the cloud is being lifted. We're seeing things. We're seeing hope, future, things that God could do. And all of a sudden, we're looking down in the mirror or addictions are popping up. Whatever it is, we're like, where did that come from? I thought I was done with that, or I didn't know that was on me. It's because God is preparing us for something big. Oh, yeah. And I know for a fact that the conference has something to do with it. I also know that Harold Eberly spoke a prophecy a year ago saying that this time next year you'll look nothing the same. And we don't look the same now, but I felt like it was a lot bigger deal, like a lot more extravagant. And then I had a pastor, Paul Drewer, came to me. He's a funny guy. He's a Free Methodist pastor. He's becoming one of my very good very good friend. We pray every week together. And he came to me and goes, you know that prophecy you guys talked about it looking completely different? He goes, could that have anything to do with the Learning Center? His wife is the one that runs the Learning Center. Mindy is our director. And he said that the kids that were here, they're all gone. And this year it's going to be all new kids. You got the roof you're doing, you're painting it. It looks like a completely different place. So we're already. So when God speaks, we think we know the interpretation, but we really don't. Don't figure out how and when. Just throw out how and when, and you'll be fine. Okay, so.
It's a kindergarten. They didn't just all leave.
They all graduated. We haven't had anybody leave for a bad reason in a long time. Matter of fact, the only time people leave is because, well, not our fault. The bad reasons that are people leaving is because they lost their job and they can't keep their kids in the Learning Center. Because it's a preschool. So kids, they want their kids to stay there. But we had like 20 kids graduate this year to go to kindergarten. That's a beautiful thing. There's nothing wrong with that. We just lost 20 kids. Wow. So God is letting us face things all over the place. And it's okay. Because He wants us to teach us to rest in Him. Okay, before I get into it, I'm going to recap last week, and I'm going to go, today is 9/11, so I want to talk about something real quick. But if anybody needs a stove, we have an electric cooking stove in the coffee shop that we're just going to give away. It's not very nice, but if anybody needs one, it'll work. If not, we're just going to put free. I just want to offer it to anybody here first. So, but come see Peter Drake. He's back there standing in the sunlight there. All right, so today is the 10-year anniversary of 9/11. And I feel like it's significant of something. But I'm talking to us about being ready, willing, and able. And I want to tell a story that's kind of like that. Have you heard of Flight 93?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's the flight that didn't do damage to any buildings. It's the flight that crashed in the middle of a field. It's because there is these, I'm just going to read you some just little clips from it. There's a book out now that talks about the detailed story of how it came about. It was like 38 minutes where they knew, I don't know if the flight was up in the air 38 minutes, but all I know is that what happened in 38 minutes was quite a big deal. How many phone calls were happening, communication, and how many people just took ownership of what was going on. Two men must have agreed, I'm just reading you some clips, they were sure to die anyway when the hijackers crashed the plane. They resolved to fight for their lives. A group of us, Tom Burnett said, told his wife, are getting ready to do something. I'm going to take a vote. Jeremy Glick is his name, said on this call, there are three other guys as big as me, and we're thinking of attacking the guy with the bomb. Jeremy then later said, still on the phone with his wife, I know I could take the guy with the bomb. Then jokingly, he mentioned that he could take the hijackers. They had a knife, but he could take them out with his butter knife that he used for breakfast that morning. Todd, Berner, I think is his name, continuing in the conversation with a GTE supervisor, told her that he and a few others were getting together to jump the guy with the bomb. Was he sure that he wanted to do that, she asked. And he said, yes, I'm going to have to go out on faith. I don't have much of a choice. So began the minute of brave resistance, the clearly defined act of courage that has lived on in the national memory. So today, a lot of people are focusing on death, and I want to focus on... See, God sees bad things happening as opportunities. We see things as either shameful that happens to us, or this could kill me. But God sees it as a whole different story. God sees these things as an opportunity. Everything, the real reason for everything in life is for Him to get the credit. So whatever you're facing in life, it's not because God, number one, God is a good God, and everything good and perfect comes from Him. Right? So this gift, this whatever you're facing, didn't come from God. However, God's going to get the credit for what's about to happen in your life. Okay? So I feel super strong in my spirit that this story represents, there was many different people. There was like, the stewardess was boiling water in the flight. There was all kinds of phone calls and just a lot of things that happened that meant the men go, okay, you know what? I'm going out and I'm going out fighting. And it wasn't just men. There was like three other women. There was one woman in there that had dislocated her knee in the past and put it in place herself. I mean, there was some burly people in there that were really willing to do what it took. But God is looking for ready, willing, and able people. And I'm talking to us about what does it mean to be ready, willing, and able. I'm going to recap just real quick of what we talked about last week. Last week I talked about priorities. I was sharing a prophecy. I'm not going to put it up there. But there was a prophecy that I spoke to Abundant Life, and I feel God was saying, to the measure that you're hungry is the measure I'll pour out on you. Today what we saw, the outpouring, is because there's some people hungry.
That's right.
And guess what? Those of you who aren't are going to benefit from the ones that are hungry. Okay, I've actually come in, I'm going to say something. I think I've come into agreement with something that's probably not necessarily God. And I'm going to just hopefully remove that today. And one of those things was that I felt like the grace for one person is done. Like, meaning if the one person wants it bad enough, it's done. Because God's about corporate right now. I believe that's true. But what I was thinking was that everybody has to come in an agreement. Because what I've noticed, just an example, worship, I've been longing for worship to be this extravagant thing. It's the best thing ever. I've been a drummer since I was 12 years old, and I could care less about being on a band. I like it. It's fun. But when I play drums and I hear a sound that no one else can hear yet, and I start playing it, it's like the rush you've never felt before. And it's because I heard something in my spirit first, and I played it. And most of the time, I actually learned how to play drums that way. Because I couldn't, if I thought about it, I couldn't do what I was hearing. It was too hard for me. So I actually learned how to play drums from Holy Spirit. I haven't had that in a while. And it used to be if I wanted it to happen bad enough on the worship team, it would happen. It's changed. Everybody has to want it. If everybody wants it, it happens now. But what I'm noticing, it's not everybody, it's the most. If it's the majority of people who want it, it'll happen. So I'm not saying, what I'm revoking now is that not everybody has to choose it. I believe God, not everybody can be in that place to be ready for what God wants to do. But if the majority of us say yes, and one of my prayers lately has been, God, would you do it for 10? I can feel the anointing out even when I say it now. God, would you do it for 5 yeses? 5 people who want it, would you do it for? I think He's waiting. I think He wants us to be so hungry for Him that a few will just say yes. And like Bob said, I'll say yes, but I had a but. I don't want it to look like this craziness. I don't want it to look like I don't understand it. I don't want it to look like where a situation has to happen bad in my life and then I have to shine. I don't want a relative to die. I don't want all this to happen. But God says, will you say yes to me no matter what?
Yes.
Come on. So, when I spoke this prophecy, it says, for the treasure... The kingdom of God is like the man who buried a treasure and sold everything he had to purchase it. And for the joy that was set before him, he did that. Perception is everything. Are you focused on your problems today? Or are you focused on the joy that could come out of that problem? This is where it's at. Okay? Are you focused on the problem that you're having an addiction with something? Or are you focused on the fact that God's going to get credit for what just happened to me? Okay, this is what God is doing right now. I can feel it in my spirit. And a while back I said, I mourned for everybody here. I was going to a coffee meeting in the morning and God broke my heart. Because he was crying out for people to say yes. And I felt the hurt of people not saying yes. I felt the pain. And I'm telling you right now, I've never seen a time like I've been in right now. Never. Where real things are coming up against us. I have to do the roof right now because it's leaking. I have to deal with life circumstances. I have to bring my daughter to an emergency because she had an allergic reaction. These are have-tos. And everybody's being faced with have-tos right now. But I don't feel right about it. I don't feel right that that's not God. I actually am seeing God a little bit ticked. Like, no, I want this broken through. I'm done with my people hurting. I'm done with my people suffering. But he's looking for people to say yes. It's like his hands are tied a little bit. It's not contingent on us doing things. It's contingent on us resting into him. It's contingent on us trusting him no matter what we're facing. I would not want to be the president of the United States right now. You think your problems are a big deal? I wouldn't want that on anybody. And whoever the person to bring changes need to rest in God, because God is the only one that has the answers for this country. Not a man, not a system. God does. And I am looking for people to rise up. I don't want to follow the perfect person. I'm not looking for a perfect leader. I'm looking for a leader who says, you know what, I don't know what I'm doing, but I know the person who does. And if I make a mistake, so what? Because I still know the person who does. Okay? That's a big deal. Okay, so perception is everything. Don't focus on your problems. Focus on what could happen. Okay? All right. That was last week. We're not going to get very far. This is fine, because it feels good. Priorities. Here's what I see overall. This is not for everybody. I'm trying not to speak in absolutes, but this is what I see in general. I see that there's a list of four things and priorities. Your relationship with God is important to everybody. And I think that gets skewed, but for the most of us, your relationship with God is most important. Number two, it's taking care of the things that are paining us the most. The things that we're seeing. The deaths in our lives, the job, the health issues, whatever it is, that's the thing that's getting us to focus on it. And it has to be taken care of, I get it. But it's not, there's something not right about it. I'm not saying you're bad, I'm in this boat with you guys, okay? I'm facing these same issues, and I don't know what the fix is, but I know what it's supposed to be. So I got to at least adjust my sight first. Because to become what God sees, you have to see what He sees first. You at least have to have a notion of what he sees first. You need to know, at least he said, go across the Jordan, so put your foot in first. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. Number three is family and friends. Priorities list I'm talking about. Number four is what God is doing. What God is building on the earth. That's where I see most people's priorities. And it's where the enemy's trying to get things to be. Needs, number one. Family and friends, number two. God, what God is doing, number three, is what the enemy's trying to do. At least we have God's sort of relationship first. We're doing okay. What God wants for priorities. Number one, our relationship with God and what God is doing, number one. So how much percentage of your week do you give to what God is building? I know your job is taking up your time, but are you thinking consciously about what God is building at your job? I know that you're battling a health issue. Are you thinking consciously of what God is trying to do with that situation? That's called in the kingdom. That's called building the kingdom. That's what God wants to do. Number two is family and friends. Okay, I told you that if I give up my wife and my wife and babies leave the relationship with God because of what I'm doing here, I failed. Okay, that's important to me. It's not number one to me. I would like it to be sometimes. It's a battle to keep that because God. I have to trust God. I don't have the ability to make that happen. God does. So I have to trust Him first. Okay, number three is God will take care of your needs and the things that are paining you the most. That should be the third thing on the list. And I feel it right now, and I could go, it's easy for me when I'm one-on-one with you to go, that's the spot. Right there is where I'm talking about. But in this many people, I can't share it with you. You're going to have to ask God on your own. Okay, God, what is that place that my priorities need to be changed? And it's a daily thing. It's not a one time, I got my priorities right today. It's a minute thing. It's every second thing. Because you're going to have something that pains you. The curse is you're going to have things that prick you. You're going to have things that agitate you, that hurt. In the business world, the things that gets the people that get the most attention are the ones who cause the most pain. It's horrible. That's the enemy perceiving, changing our perception. So, we are putting things in priorities in the right priority. We are putting our things in order, okay? And God, you just need to be aware of what the enemy's trying to do so that you can go, okay, I need to focus on God. I need to rest in Him. Do you think God gets worried when the storm happens? The two people that have the biggest revelation on that just spoke up. If you think God doesn't. God rests all the time. He's anxious for nothing. Do you think... I got to give David the credit for this because he wrote a blog about... Dave Rogers wrote a blog about God and being anxious for nothing. And he said, do you think he fell off his seat when Adam sinned? No. He sees it. He probably didn't plan that. But what happened was now God has an opportunity to show his love. Because love can only be seen in contrast with something the opposite. So it's okay. It's not the end of the world to him. Do you think he fell off his seat when Cain killed Abel? No. He wasn't anxious for nothing ever. He saw an opportunity for God to love again. Okay, so he's not anxious. He rests in all things. And if he's handling everything and he can rest, what's our excuse? What's my excuse? Okay, I'm going to read you a scripture. It's in 1 Chronicles 29, and I'm going to give credit to Ben Nichols for this. He's been helping me. I've been really busy lately. So I've been up on the roof a lot, and a lot of you have been up there with me, and we've got a conference coming up, and I've got all kinds of things going on. And God, I need a scripture for what you're talking to me about. And Ben called me and said, you won't believe this scripture. You've got to read this scripture. Read it in the message. So we're going to read to you 1 Chronicles 29 in the message. I'm not going to read it all, but it's pretty big deal. And I feel like we're right in this place. This is about when King David was giving the kingdom to his son Solomon. Okay? Then David the king addressed the congregation. My son Solomon was singled out and chosen by God to do this. But he's young and untested. And the work is huge. This is not just a place for people to meet each other, but a house of God to meet us. He's talking about the temple. Building the temple is what he's talking about. This is what the temple should be. It's not a place for just us to just meet people, but a house for God to meet us. I've done my best to get everything ready, or everything together for the building this house for my God. All the materials necessary. Now it goes and lists ton of materials. So I keep seeing Ted Hansen flash before my eyes saying this right now. I've done my best to get all the materials ready. Solomon is young and untested. Hello? Do I got to make it more any more obvious here? Okay. Moving on. So if my dad were here, he would say this. And now, how about you? Who among you is ready, willing to join in the giving? Ready and willing, the heads of families, the leaders of tribes of Israel, the commanders and captains in the army, stewards of the king's affairs, stepped forward and gave willingly. Wow. This is what's happening right now. And this is what the enemy's trying to stop you from doing because of the pains in your life. I am not okay with you guys not being able to do what God has called you to do. I'm not okay with it. I call it as it is. It's BS. Okay? Sorry if I offend you on that, but that's exactly what it is. And I am calling it for what it is. Okay? If you're being distracted in life because of the pains and things that are making you suffer, that's not okay with God. And I'm not okay with it. Because I want all that God wants to give to you. I want it for you. It's not for me, it's for you. It's for everybody. And it's for the ones who aren't even here yet. I like the fact that the doors are open this morning. Come on, God, leak out of this house. Overflow from this place. Okay, so we're going to go on. This is the best thing, is what David's response was. And the people were full of the sense of celebration, all that giving willingly, freely, King David was exuberant. David blessed God in full view of the entire congregation. You know, if he says that, he probably looks like a fool, because he's done that before. Blessed are you, God of Israel, our Father from all old and forever. To you, O God, belong the greatness and the might and the glory and the victory and the majesty and the splendor. Yes, everything in heaven, everything on earth, the kingdom, all yours. You raise yourself higher than all. Riches and glory come from you. You're ruler over all. You're the ruler over all. You hold strength and power in the palm of your hand to build up and strengthen all. I'm going to stop there. This is a big deal. This is exactly what God is doing right now. And I want to just hit briefly. I got about 5 minutes. Not going to keep you longer than that. But I'm going to talk about what does it mean to be ready? Okay, I'm talking about ready, willing, and able. I heard God say, are you ready, willing, and able? I'm looking for ready, willing, and able people. I'm like, God, what does it mean? So what does it mean to be ready? First, you got to be hungry. Hungry enough to be willing. And the best example I can see of that on earth is when a wife or a pregnant woman is about to have a child, they are willing. Because they are so sick of being pregnant. Okay? That's part of it. So you know what? It's sad. It stinks. But sometimes the only time we're ready is if we get pressured. A woman would not be ready to give birth if they were just comfortable. Right? It's human nature. It's not just a woman. It's men are worse. They're babies. I'm complaining a lot about how I feel right now, and I'm not even pregnant. Jen, are you ready yet? She's ready. And I don't pretend to know what that feels like, okay? I don't want to be killed later. But God puts the pressure on us. It's not God. He allows things so that He can give us what He wants to give us. Because we do have to be willing. We have to be ready. Okay, how do we get ready? The first thing that we get ready is to be willing to own your stuff. And what I mean by that is, I can't go into this. It's like the most important one. There's a difference between being transparent and vulnerable. Transparency is telling you I have an addiction. Okay, let's say I drink and I get drunk. Being transparent is I get drunk. Being vulnerable is the reason why I get drunk. And me sharing it openly and willing with you. This is why the 12-step program works, because it gets to the source of why. And we need to be willing to go there. And the other reason it works is because they're vulnerable to each other. Okay? So in your life, you've got to get vulnerable. And that's why I've been talking about culture of honor. That's why I've been talking about all these things, because culture of honor, we have to be in an environment where people are accepted. Now, I've been seeing some positive things of that. I've also been getting people coming to me quite often and apologizing for being offended. Will you forgive me? Because I was offended at something you said. And I've been mentioning this. I'm going to mention it publicly because I said it's kind of funny. And it's, to be honest, we all do it. Our bosses are not allowed to make mistakes. I said, you're asking me to forgive you because you realize I'm right. What happens if I was wrong? Would you still forgive me? What if I had a bad day? It's easier said than done. Because we, some reason, human nature, we want a target always in our life. And it's usually ahead. A place of, somewhere of authority, it's always the target. Because all problems are resolved through the place of authority. That's how God designed it. So I'm just putting that out there. We need to be a safe place. I have very openly and said it's okay to not be okay. I'm creating a safe place. I need it back. I would prefer it back. I have safe places. I've strategically done that in my life. But we need to do that for each other. We need to be a safe place. Because, and if you want a book to know what that's like, the Culture of Honor book is the book to read. If you really, really want one, come see me. Okay? But that book is what I'm talking about. We need to change the culture of what the church looks like so it can be a safe place. Okay? I mentioned a little bit last week about sin, what sin really is. All sin is a symptom of a need that we are filling illegitimately. Sin really is the absence of God. So if you look at the original sin, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they were sinning because they were trying to find out how to take care of themselves without God. Hello, how many of us do that every day? We get presented with a major problem. We're like, okay, I need to go to the book. I need to figure out how to do this. That's called eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We do it all. I need to go ask a friend. We forget to ask him. Well, when we brought London to the hospital, it was like two phone calls later that we prayed. I was kind of ticked at myself. I was like, we went to the hospital first. Hello, this is what I'm talking about. I'm living this stuff with you guys. I'm in there. I'm in the trenches. God is doing something with all of us together. And sin, all sin is just the absence of God. That's all it is. It's nothing. There's nothing. And it's just a symptom of feeling a need that we have. We all have legitimate needs that God put there for us to cry out to Him. But sometimes we cry out to the wrong places to get that filled. So where are we doing that in our lives? But this is called owning your stuff. We got to find those places. God wants to fill all your needs with Him. The real why to everything is to give God the credit. Give your Father the credit. Owning your stuff has to do with you letting God expose any area that is hindering you from being who you were born to be. Not just being transparent, but vulnerable. Getting to the source of why would I do that? God looks at us so different than we look at ourselves. When we do something and we mess up, He goes, okay, why would my son or my daughter do that? And He knows. But all we do is look at the symptom and go, oh, I messed up. I got to fix that symptom. I got to fix that symptom. That doesn't work. It will never work. Law does not work. Grace works. Okay? Is this making sense? I don't want to be too deep here. We're almost done. God, help us. Owning your stuff has to do with putting aside any fear or loss, a fear of loss, and trusting God by moving forward. Owning your stuff is filling the God-given needs in your life with Him. Ironically, the fix to your stuff is to give God all the credit for everything in your life. The fix for owning your stuff is letting go, not hanging on and fixing it. Okay? Second thing on how do we become ready. Be willing to join in unity. In this scripture, David rallied the people together to come and build the temple. David had been saving his whole entire kingship to build the temple. And God wouldn't even let him build it. But he had been saving his whole life to pass that on. And then he rallied people together to do that. And we've already done that here. We're in that transition right now. We're all together. We're all moving forward. We just need to keep our sight on what God is doing, not the problems we're facing. God commanded blessing to the place of unity. Just an observation on David. When did David get in trouble?
When he was alone.
Yep. Bored. He didn't go to war. Come on, I'll let that sink in a little bit here. When do we get in trouble? It's when we try to fix the problems ourselves. Or you get bored and you want to isolate yourself. He isolated himself. And in that moment, he had an affair and then killed the husband. I mean, that was a big deal. He had a moment. We all have moments. So you can't judge that moment. But I'm just saying, you got to look at the why that happened first.
Yeah.
He isolated himself. He didn't do what God was wanting him to do. There's two factors to that. Isolation kills. I heard this, I think Banning said it. The banana that gets taken off the bunch gets eaten. That's true. It makes sense, don't it? So don't get taken off the bunch. And no matter how many times I say this, I am seeing all over the place people isolate themselves. I know nobody wants to appear weak, especially men have a problem with this. Because you think being vulnerable is a sign of weakness. Again, I say, not true. Because it's a sign, vulnerability is a sign of a manhood. Being vulnerable, and I know I get why that's been ingrained in us, because back in World War, the men decided to throw their emotions away and said, I'm not going to let my kids, most fathers were actually loving their kids by not telling them they love them. That sounds weird, but they thought, if they have to go through what I go through, I'm not going to let them be soft. So a lot of our generational problems came from a generation that said, I don't want my kids to be soft because I don't want them to go through what I went through. That was their fix, and that doesn't work. Grace works. Thirdly, because this is my last point, be willing to get under a spiritual father. How do we get ready? First, you own your stuff. Second, you be willing to join in unity. And third, be willing to get under a spiritual father. When I first started becoming a pastor here, I realized I had to do a couple things. First, I need to know who's with me. And I'm still doing that. But I need to know who's running with me. I need people. This is not my church. This is our church. This is something God wants to happen in Bellingham. God wants to happen in the earth. It's not mine. I just got picked to be the target. And not by choice either. I just got picked. Now I'm embracing it fully. I'm in passion. I'm happier than I've ever been. Busier than I've ever been, but I'm happier than I've ever been. And so I looked around and I go, who's with me? Who is saying yes to this thing that God is doing? Second, I looked for personal mentors. I looked for, okay, God showed me some weaknesses in my life. And I go, okay, who's a safe place for me to work on that? So I look for some spiritual fathers. We all need people in our lives that can say something to us that we don't want to hear. We all need it. We don't want it, but we need it. We all need someone in our lives, and it's not usually just a friend. That works. But I'm talking about someone who has wisdom, someone who's been down the road, someone who actually has an anointing on them to carry, that can see things you can't see because they've been around a little longer. They've been anointed. They've been in the head of some things a little bit longer. They've done some things, and maybe not even. Maybe they haven't been around a little bit longer, but they've obviously got a perception that we don't have. We need to have that in our lives. It's super important. The third thing I did was look for spiritual input to this place. Because I have my own personal input, and then we have spiritual father input. And we've got some pretty awesome father figures in this place. And God is opening through that. But for some reason, God likes to work through people. He likes to work through the authorities He sent in our life. I've talked about the boss I had that was not so fun to work under before. We've told lots of stories. God usually uses the people in our lives that are the hardest to work with to teach us a little bit about who He is. It's a beautiful thing. Okay, I'm going to end this off with a little quote here. It's about a pencil maker. It's kind of funny. I think David Stokel gave this to me. I don't know where he is. He gave me this. It's about a pencil. It's kind of a poem type thing. It says, a pencil maker told the pencil 5 important lessons just before putting it in the box. Everything you do will always leave a mark. You can always correct the mistakes you make. And I put something because you can always get there from here, even if you made mistakes. That's the correcting. It's not necessarily wiping away a mistake. It's actually you can get there from here. God's grace is good. What is important is what is inside of you. In life, you will undergo painful sharpenings, which will only make you better. Bill Johnson, I heard a quote last week from Bill Johnson. It said, all progress is followed by pruning. True. That's so it can be fruitful. Anybody who has trees, like fruit trees, it's true. It's good. We don't like that feeling at all, but it's necessary. And that usually comes from the father figures in our lives that are pruning because they're the ones willing enough to do it. Because they know that loving you is more important than how they appear to you. Number 5, to be the best pencil, you must allow yourself to be held and guided by the hand that holds you. Pretty good. Let's stand up. Come on, God, you are good. So, David asked a question in the Bible, and it said, who among you is ready, willing, and able to give? Actually, he said, who among you is ready, willing to join in the giving? And I know you're all there. I know your hearts are there. And I have to tell you that it's a battle right now to stay focused on that. It's a battle right now to stay focused on what I'm here to give to the earth. Why am I here? I'm here to show love to the people around me and to experience God's love. We have to experience Him. And we're often getting tested by having to deal with the things we have to deal with. So my commission to you today is on the connection card, if you're a first-time guest or not a first-time guest, I want everybody to fill these out just because it's a kind of a commitment type thing. So now would be a good time to do it. I don't know if you all have pens or not, but... you just fill your name out in the front. If you don't have your address in your email, it would be nice to put in there. But if we already have it, you don't need to fill that part out. On the back it says, "Become a follower of the Jesus Christ for the first time." If you want to have a relationship with the person who has the answers, today is a good day. And you know what? There's prayers I could lead you in, but I don't see a prayer as the answer. It's not a most people know that's kind of baloney because The prayer is not what gets you the ticket to heaven. It's your heart and it's what you believe. And I've seen so many people go, are you kidding me? You say that prayer and now you're going to heaven? You've got to be kidding me. You think it's that, like that superficial? Most people know that, except for Christians have the wool pulled over their eyes. Because all I saw, I was giving you an example, I saw a guy on the cross look over and say, will you remember me today? I don't deserve to be here. I deserve to be here, you don't. And he said, today I'll remember you in paradise. That's all he did. Did he say a prayer? Did he ask? See, all you got to do is believe that he wants you. He wants to remember you. He wants you to experience life the way he designed you to experience it. That's all you got to know. And live that way every day. Not just once in your life. You got to live that way all the time. God wants you. Second one, if you want to read that whole story about Solomon, it's 1 Chronicles 29. Check to read that. It's a pretty good story, especially in the message. It says it real clear. The third thing is look around me to see who will go on this journey with me. It'd be good to write down some names of people that you want to take on the journey, not just people you want to go on the journey. I'm almost done, I'm sorry, but I got to say some more. For some reason, everybody thinks Danny and I have to fill in the holes that are not being filled. If there's cliques going on, if there's relationship things not happening, for some reason it's always looked at the pastor and his wife, their wife have to fill it. It's impossible. Matter of fact, I've got father figures telling me to stop. I've got father figures telling me to pick 12 and that's it. You can't do much more. So I've done my best at pouring my life into as many people as possible, but it's not my job. This is called, are you ready, willing to give and do your part? Are you lonely? Invite someone to your house. If you're feeling disconnected, invite someone to your home. If you don't have a home, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people who have homes who are too shy to invite them to your house. I'm serious. There should be no reason for this. I hate clickiness. I hate it with a passion. I'm one of the most unclicky persons you'll ever meet. Okay? But I can't fix it. It's not my job. I'm not Moses, you guys.
What?
Yeah, what? Moses was even told to stop it. I don't hear God for you. You hear God for yourselves. Okay, that's a good... So who's on this journey with me? Who are you going to take with you? Who are you going to take with you that is a running mate? And then look for spiritual fathers. I know that I'm probably going to get calls for that. But look, really ask God who is supposed to be inputting into my life. And guess what? A spiritual father does not come after you. A mother does that. And that's okay. We need that in our lives. A spiritual father you have to pursue. The prodigal son didn't go find the lost son. Or the prodigal son's dad, did not go find the prodigal son. He waited on the edge of his seat for his son to return home. So that's what you guys do. Who is your spiritual father? Run to them. And guess what? There's going to come a time in your life where you don't want to trust that person. That's the best time in your life to trust that person. Spiritual father can be male, female. I'm not talking about genders. I'm talking about sent one to you to influence your life. Okay? Last thing, sign up to do your part at the conference. That's pretty simple, right? So go ahead and put these. There's a basket back there. You can fill them out. But before we go, I want to... I'm going to do that. I already have that, actually, but that's not this week. People are hearing God. Conference is going to be awesome. Do not expect it to be the same as it was last year. It was good last year. There's nothing wrong with past experiences, but I want to be connected to my first love, so I have all kinds of best experiences. So this conference, what we saw today, maybe was weird to you. If you think that's weird, I have no idea what's going to happen next. But I do know I got religion in me that I want out. I looked at a video from us 20 years ago, and I saw it, and I go, man, we were religious. And I thought we weren't. And I looked at Danny and I go, well, I wonder what we're going to look like 20 years from now. We're going to go back and go, man, we were religious. I don't want any that garbage in my life. I want to embrace fully what he is and what he wants to do. If you come that way expecting and make, you know what, our conferences are cheap. Okay? We do that on purpose. I know the family average income here. I'm very involved and I know what it takes to make a living here. I'm not stupid. I know it's hard. But there's got to be a price. I'm not going to cheapen what God is going to do for you. Because I want you to get everything God has for you. It has nothing to do with the money. It has everything to do with what God is going to give to you. And if I'm cheapening it too much, you won't get anything out of it. So I won't do it. I'm sorry. So if you don't have the money, God will get you the money to come. And if you don't have the money, just come on Sunday nights. It's okay. And then give something. Give something to it. But believe God. Believe God to come to provide for that. So put your hand on someone next to you. We're going to pray for the person. All right, who am I going to pray for? I'll pray for my mom. Come on. Father, I bless this person next to me. I thank you, God, that you are such a good daddy. And you love this person more than I could ever love this person. And that you're changing my heart to look like your heart. You're changing us to look like you, God. I want to look like you. I want to feel like you. I want to smell like you. I want to sound like you, Father. And I want this person next to me to do the same. So, Father, we just lift us up together. We thank you, God, that you're a good daddy. And that no matter what we're facing, you have the keys to unlock heaven right here on earth and in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on.